welcome to Art Speak. Hey, this is Maria Vasquez Boyd, and I'm here with you every Wednesday, noon to 1 p.m. Central Standard Time on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. We love that you've tuned in with us. We love that you make us a priority every week. And online, kkfi.org. If you can't get to a radio, yeah, you can listen to us online. This program, we have author Frank Lingo, artist Audrey Luna, Rich Broll, and Kurt McMillan with Make 48. We've got Angie Jennings and artist Teresa Dirks and Chris Fry all in the studio. I mean, this place is jam-packed full of creativity, and we love it that way. You know, Kansas City is all about artists and makers and writers, and so we're glad that you've joined us today. I want to introduce my first guest. That is Frank Lingo. He is a former columnist for the Kansas City Star. He's written a fictional story about everyone in the world getting a chance to vote for peace. Wouldn't that be lovely? I love that. The title of his novel is Earth Vote, and he's going to talk to us about what his story is and how he got it going. So welcome, my friend, Frank.
Hi, Maria. Thanks very much for having me.
You bet. So I was very excited to hold this copy in my hand and see Earth Vote and find out all about it. So would you tell our listeners?
Yes. Earth Vote came out of my imagination from the frustration of hearing and watching the daily news every day and how bleak it was and how prospects for peace seemed to fade away over and over again, whether it's in the Middle East or Afghanistan, Asia, Central South America, wherever there was fighting, it didn't seem to have any positive outcome.
It takes its toll, doesn't it? Day to day. And
there's compassion
nonstop.
Fatigue.
Yeah.
No, they call it when you just don't want to hear it anymore. Mm. So I came up with an idea for a book where people from another planet would offer a chance for everyone in the world to vote for peace. And I'll read you a little bit about that.
Please do.
People with supernatural powers from another planet, the Lumens, telepathically address all people on Earth at once. Accompanying that message is a bright, comforting light. The Lumens say there will be a yes or no vote in 1 week, and that a two-thirds supermajority is necessary to implement their plan. Everyone in the world, including children, can vote yes or no, telepathically, and no one can interfere with anyone else's vote. The Lumens stipulate that voting yes means all guns and bombs will be banned worldwide, and they have the powers to detect and disarm anyone attempting to defy the ban.
And then with that, you also have another group of evil aliens that arrive, right?
Yeah, the evil aliens come at the same time, and they smell bad, and they're called Ranks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's supposed to be a little humor relief there. And the Ranks want to colonize the world for the perfume production here because they can't even stand the smell of themselves.
Right.
And they become allies with Earth's tyrants in an effort to defeat the Lumens vote and keep things the way they are in the world. But in the middle of all this, before all the visits by the aliens, we meet three American window washers who work up on those scaffolds up on the big buildings.
Yeah.
And we meet them amid the turmoil of their everyday lives. Fairley is a white, divorced, recovering alcoholic who is trying to reunite his family. Fred is a black ex-basketball star whose girlfriend's daughter witnesses a murder. And Camilla is a young Latina whose kid brother gets in trouble with a gang. And we follow how these people and their families respond to the Lumens' offer to make world peace.
And I'm just curious, the characters that you've chosen, their professions, what they do in everyday life, it really sort of connects with people in everyday life, right?
Everyday people, yeah.
Right.
They don't make a lot of money. They work hard and in the heat, and they have a somewhat dangerous job. And they really would not be together except for the job. Mm-hmm. They don't have anything in common with each other, but they just happen to have a job that where they all go together. And also it's racially diverse that way.
Right, right. So so sort of the frustration of seeing everything that you see on the news daily, nightly, this came out of sort of that.
Right. It sometimes has seemed very bleak to watch the news. Going back to the 80s when it was the Contras in Nicaragua, and then in the 90s when we had Bosnia, mm-hmm. Then in the 2000s we've had Iraq and Afghanistan, and it just seems like it's never going to end. And so I wanted to come up with some idea where we could, everyone in the world could voice their feeling about it. And I don't think that's really been allowed to happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are billions of people in the world who have never had a chance to vote in a free and fair election. China, for instance, has never had a true free and fair election. And many other countries that live under authoritarian regimes have not had that chance either. And so I think, to my mind, I think that many people would welcome a chance to try a new way of living, a peaceful way. And the Lumens, when they introduced this concept in the book, they also suspended everyone in place, immobilized everyone, kept them wherever they were at, whatever they were doing. And then this comforting light was all over the world at the same time. So that could be a very scary thing to be stopped in what you were doing. But the light gave people comfort. And then, so that is supposed to inspire trust in the Lumens. And yet, in the book, there are plenty of people who don't trust these people from another world. Maybe it's all just a trick, to become the slaves of these people. So you have to kind of go through the book and read the details to decide, you know, how you feel about it.
Right.
And we experience the characters in the book having doubts and arguments and all this. There's a lot of public relations that goes on regarding trying to persuade people of the world which way to vote.
I love that. If you just tuned into Art Speak Radio, I'm talking with writer Frank Lingo about his new novel, Earth Vote. And, I want to mention that Frank was a former columnist for the Kansas City Star, but also in your bio, I had to sort of edit a little bit just, you know, for Facebook page and KKFI page, but you've been very active in politics in that here I've read that during the summer of 1968, you were a volunteer for Senator Gene McCarthy, who ran against President Johnson in opposition to the Vietnam War,
and
you went to Woodstock and settled in Lawrence, Kansas and all that, so you've got a great history of political activism.
Yeah, that was when I was a kid. And then in the 80s, I was a volunteer at a crisis counseling center in Lawrence where I learned how to listen to people, which is a good skill. And not everybody
I'm sorry?
Not everybody.
Could you repeat that?
And then I also worked for a group working to stop world hunger, and that is called Results. Did some volunteer work for them. So I kind of got a sense of the world issues and how things are impeded from making progress. And that's why I wanted to go directly to a vote. We've waited around for decades for politicians to decide to legalize marijuana, for instance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of us thought in the 60s and 70s, they'll do it real soon. Well, they didn't.
Yeah.
They didn't do it for decades and decades. And finally, it was put to a vote by the people, and that made the difference.
And crazy.
Maria, I also want to mention that I've got a book signing tonight.
Oh, yes, please. And where is this at?
It's at Barnes & Noble on the plaza at 6 p.m. And Barnes & Noble has been very nice to allow a book signing there.
Yeah.
And
now, do people have to make sort of a reservation,
no.
a seat reservation?
No, they just show up. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and I do want to mention that I love, again, reading your bio. May I read this?
Sure.
I'm now 66 years old. I still play basketball. I can hit the three-pointer with my eyes closed, but I go to the hoop like my grandmother. I do impressions, including Jimmy Stewart, Bob Dylan, and Bullwinkle.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I just like to thank the Academy.
And Bullwinkle?
Nothing up my sleeve. Don't know my own string.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, we all watch. Look at them all laughing in the back. They're trying to stifle their laughing. But, you know, this book.
I got to do the Dylan, too.
Okay.
You know, Dylan did a Christmas song, a Christmas album recently, and this
do
is
it.
My impression of Bob Dylan doing a Christmas album. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Frank Lingo, we love you.
Thank you very much.
We love you. But, you know, I love that the story that you've written where you address the question, what happens when everyone in the world, including children, gets to vote for peace? And I love that it's fiction, but man, I would love to see it, you know, be realized.
Well, you got to read the book to find out what happens. You know?
Yeah.
And it's also available. It's on Amazon.com as an ebook and other other ebook sellers.
Yeah.
And the distributor is Ingram's, which is a well-known book distributor. So you can get it at most bookstores through them if you don't want to go through Amazon. So it's available widely. And I have a website, too.
Very good, because I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah.
Any social media and all of that that you want to share with us?
My website is earthvote.world. World is not a common suffix to a website, but it's a good one, and it's becoming more common nowadays.
Did I see you on Instagram, or am I just making that up?
I don't know. I'm on Twitter.
Okay. Yes. Blog?
My Twitter is Frank Lingo Earth. Mm-hmm. I have not done blogging yet.
Mm-hmm. And please tell us again the events, the details of the event this evening.
Yeah, it's at Barnes & Noble on the Plaza at 6 p.m.
Book signings and Bullwinkle impressions and all of that.
Yeah.
You know, I would love to have you come back, and I would love you to, you know what, we have a little bit more time. Would you like to read just a little excerpt from your book?
I'd like to do that.
Yeah, let's do that.
It was at that moment a glow of light appeared all around. The car stopped as everything and everyone froze where they were, and the light grew brighter like a honey glaze from the sky. It was already a clear, sunny day, but now the brightness was magnified many times over. Still, it wasn't a glaring light, but a soft, rich glow that their eyes welcomed like a long-lost friend. It was happening all over the world. All movement of life and machines was held in suspended animation, immersed in the bright, beautiful glow. Everybody knew that something was occurring that they'd never known before, and they were so thrilled by the sight and feeling of the light that they weren't worried, even though their bodies couldn't move. Also, the humans could see each other's auras now. The first time for most of them, the little field of colorful light surrounding their skin was revealed, as if lifting a window shade to show the light of day.
Thank you so much, Frank. Frank Lingo, Earth Vote, tonight, Barnes & Noble.
Thank you, Maria.
On the Plaza, you bet. We're going to be right back with Art Speak Radio right after this. This is Art Speak Radio, and I am Maria Vasquez Boyd with you every Wednesday, noon to 1, on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Up next, we have Audrey Luna, artist, associate director of the Cherry Pit Collective. She's here live with us in the studio today. Her original work of art, she says, an original work of art reflects, enhances, and sometimes magnifies the personality of the individual, of the owner. Surround yourself with art. Create an opening for conversation and exchange of ideas. I love that. Audrey is also, as I mentioned, the Associate Director of the Cherry Pit Collective, which is a communal studio space for artists, makers, and creative, where the work and vision of women are emphasized and celebrated. Members work together to support and promote each other through a shared workspace and jointly share work, costs, benefits, and risks. And the monthly programming includes classes, events, skill sharing for the community, and to foster collaboration over competition. The Cherry Pit Collective is located at 604 East 31st Street. Welcome, my friend.
Thank you.
Oh, you're so shy. It's always so good to have you in the studio. Let's talk a little bit about the Cherry Pit Collective, and then we'll talk about your work.
Okay.
So I can say that, in full disclosure, that KKFI held a sponsored reading of Women Writers, Alpha Women Write Back, at the Cherry Pit Collective, and it was an ongoing sort of open discussion, dialogue with three wonderful, talented writers. And so I have to thank you for that. Is that something that you do often, have different events for different sorts of disciplines in art and that?
Yes, we do. We're trying to reach out to the community, and that was an amazing event. We were so happy to be a part of it. We've never had anything like that yet, and we hope that you guys will come back.
Absolutely, yeah. So, as part of this Cherry Pit Collective, there's a studio space that's available for people who really want to sort of work, maybe collaborate with other artists, or just kind of get out of their home studio and that. Right?
Yeah. That's correct. Those are the two biggest things. Because sometimes when you're working
it's
at home in a bubble.
It's tough. I've got two dogs, two cats, and they're listening right now, actually. It's a little tough to work out of the home. So what sort of amenities that do you have for members that are with the Cherry Pit Collective?
Well, it's an open studios layout, so we get to talk and work with each other. We have beautiful windows, lots of light. We also have a studio right now that is light tight, so we're looking for some graphic artists, illustrators, pretty much anyone who can utilize the space.
Yeah, because right now I've seen some painters and jewelry makers and textile artists down there. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. So do you have any space available, or should I ask, if people are interested in finding out more about the Cherry Pit Collective, how do they get a hold of you?
They can go to our website, which am I allowed to
say? Well, yes.
Okay.
Do tell us.
CherryPitCollective.com. We have an application. We ask that you fill out the Myers-Briggs test so we can see how we'd all work together.
That's
really interested
interesting.
In that. Yeah, introverted.
Ink blots and everything?
No.
I know.
Just personalities. And it's actually just to utilize, like, how we're going to work together and place the right people next to each other.
I think that's important. And then that's, again, at 604 East 31st Street in Kansas City, Missouri. And that's just a great spot that's really sort of thriving and coming alive. It's just east of Martini Corner.
Yes.
And I know on the corner is our good friends, Attitudes, that have a really wonderful little diner. But then across the street used to be Ed's Florist, and that's going to be filled up with artists or
new shops. Mm-hmm. And the upstairs are apartments that they're renovating right now.
Yeah.
And then down the street's Two Tone Press, and they're opening another artist collective right there. So it's a very creative hub right now.
It really is, and it's not as densely populated as some other parts in the city. Let's talk about your work, because when I was there, talking with you, and I just saw these really wonderful sculptural pieces, and share with us what they're made out of, because I was really surprised after seeing them put together what they really were, what you began the work from.
They're hand-dyed coffee filters, and they're arranged to create these natural-looking sculptures, or they're inspired by nature. A lot of people say wasp nests, and other people say mushrooms, so it's always interesting to see what people see when they see them.
Mm-hmm. And then your dye?
The dye, just different dyed materials, that's new to me, so I'm experimenting. Mm-hmm. I've dyed my hands more than the material I work with.
Yeah. And as I mentioned, some of the pieces are very sculptural. And are you working on a series of sculptural pieces for an exhibit, or just kind of trying to figure out where you're at with this?
I'm just experimenting right now. I've done pieces that are quite large, that take enough an entire gallery wall. Mm-hmm. I think it was 20 feet by 12. So not having the space for that currently, I'm trying to work smaller but still create pieces that look like you have some nature elements inside your home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. AudreyLuna.com is your website, AudreyLuna.com. And you have quite a bit of work on your website. Tell us some of the things that viewers would see.
It's pretty much split between my abstract mixed media paintings and my sculptural work. I just bounce back and forth between the two of them because I like to build, and then I don't have the space to build as big as I want, so yeah, I enjoy painting and working small.
So how long have you been with the Cherry Pit Collective? I'm going to go back to that. Because it's a fairly new organization, no?
Yeah, actually, we're celebrating our one-year anniversary. We're going to have a big party in August, and that's on our website if you want to come. We'd love anyone in the neighborhood to join us. So August 1st would be our one-year anniversary, and
wow.
I was part of the founding group. We did a Kickstarter to help finish.
And let's talk about some of the founders, because they are all artists themselves?
I think of them as artists. They're technically makers.
Sure.
We have a paper maker, a jewelry artist, or a jeweler, mm-hmm. a couple of jewelry artists. I am blanking now because I'm on the spot.
Yeah, I mean, it's just filled with very creative people in that space. And, you know, I was really struck by the interior. What did it used to be? Because it's very historic down in that area. And I had forgotten what you had told me what the space was used for originally.
They used to convert power for the trolley carts. So I'm not sure how that happened. Magically, they would back up the trolley and it would charge and it would convert energy from AC to DC, I think. Mm-hmm. And so that whole area, that long building, we're part of it. We're next to Maker's Village, and then Oddities, Prince, all of that would convert. And so it was just sitting there, and it's fixed up, and now it's being used again, which is great.
Yeah, and it's a very good space. It's and very conveniently located, you know, so you can just take the bus or get around easily in that location. Tell us the website again, please.
www.cherrypitcollective.com.
At 604 East 34th Street. And August 1st, you'll have sort of an open house, right? Anyone?
Yes. And the dates are all online on the website.
Terrific.
Very easy to find.
And your website?
My personal one?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
AudreyLuna.com, AudreyLuna.
Yeah. Well, anything else that we left out? Anything else that's coming up for you? Or anything that you want to share that I've maybe overlooked?
No, just thank you for having me.
You bet. Let's hear your Bullwinkle impersonation.
Oh. I actually watched that as a kid, but I can't do it. I would not do justice.
Well, thank you, my friend. And we'll look forward to seeing you August 1st at the Cherry Pit Collective at 604 East 34th Street.
All right.
And we'll see you then.
Thank you.
All right. You know, we're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio because you know we can. We will be right back after this.
Hi, I'm Russ Simmons.
And I'm Susan Sanders.
And this is Take Two, two takes at a movie currently playing in the Kansas City area. And today the topic is a romantic comedy that's written and directed by 81-year-old Eleanor Coppola, and it's called Paris Can Wait.
I think this movie can wait. This is one of the more boring offerings of the Coppola family. The films Two for the Road, A Man and a Woman. These are road trips by two people who are in love, and you can just feel it. However, in this film, it's like two people out of an elevator decide to have a road trip, and they're mismatched and have nothing to say that's of any worth that I can tell. All they're doing is eating food.
Yeah, Diane Lane plays the wife of a successful Hollywood producer, played by Alec Baldwin. She mm-hmm. goes on a road trip, as you said, with this one of his associates,
yes.
who's a Frenchman, and they drive to Paris. So you do get some scenery of the lovely French countryside, but you know what? It's a bit like watching somebody else's home movies or
it
slides.
It sure is.
You have to sit in their living room and watch their vacation photos. Eh, I'm just not that interested.
Well, they're trying to be sexy and stylish, I guess, because there's this French music playing in the background, but there's just no chemistry. I'm not even interested after 5 minutes of what any could say.
Eleanor Coppola has proven herself to be a very smart and talented documentary filmmaker, but this is her first dramatic film. She just hasn't found a way to really get a grip on what is going to be interesting for the audience. I like Diane Lane, but this movie is dull.
It is, and boring, and great places, wrong people.
I'm Russ Simmons.
And I'm Susan Sanders.
And this is Take Two.
This is Art Speak Radio, and I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd with you on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Up next, we have Rich Brohl and Kurt McMillan of Make 48. What is Make 48, you ask? They're inventing against the clock. It's where teams apply and compete to develop a new commercial product idea in a 48-hour Inventathon weekend. And teams have 48 hours to plan a prototype and pitch a new idea within the specifications of a challenge, and it's revealed at the start of the 48 hours. So teams build a prototype, and then what? Hello, Rich. Hello, Kurt.
Hello, Maria. You're a great spokesperson.
Oh, get out.
Nailed it.
Yeah, it's all off the internet, you know.
Oh,
and
I
it's
got
true.
You. That makes
so,
it easy, right?
Yeah, so after the teams build a prototype, what happens from there?
Well, after that, they have to pitch it to a panel of judges who are experts in the particular industry that they're inventing for. So past judges have been representatives from QVC, Handy Camel, which is a product development company in town, Indiegogo, some others.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, for most people, they've maybe seen an episode of Shark Tank,
Shark
right?
Tank. Uh-huh.
So it might be something similar to that. In Shark Tank style, we have the teams take the stage, and they give a pitch, and they show a video that they've made, a little infomercial on their product, and then the judges will rank them and assess them, deliberate, and they give out awards. But it's kind of very similar to Shark Tank for people. If they can picture that, they can imagine what happens at the end here. But it is for real intent to take their product idea that they developed mm-hmm. over that 48 hours to market.
And I have to say that I met Rich Brohl and Kurt Brohl and Kurt McMillan at Maker Fair a couple of weeks ago. Well, last Sunday, I guess it was, at Union Station. And I was really intrigued by Make 48, and I knew that our listeners would be too. So as far as the teams go, people will apply as a team, but not knowing what it is they're going to make.
Is Absolutely. Right? They won't even know the industry that they're going to be inventing for. So it could be a kitchen product. It could be a bathroom product. It could be something for the garage, outdoor entertainment, anything like that.
So who can apply then for Make 48?
Anyone can apply. Mm-hmm. We don't have any sort of restriction on age or a certain mm-hmm. experience. Mm-hmm. We're looking for people from all over. Our tagline for this is that everyone's got a big idea, and that truly is our belief. So with that, we feel like this is something for everyone, and we want people of all ages and types and experiences to be a part of this. We're looking more for ideas that they have, the creativity and the determination to see an idea through more so than a particular background, skill set, or an age. And so we have people of all ranges come from all over, from in the U.S. and outside the U.S. that come and compete in this. And we've had some of the best ideas from kids. Our youngest competitor has been 9 years old.
Wow.
We'll have some teams or like families. But then we have a lot of people who have invented before, might have patents on other products. So it's a combination of people.
Terrific. You know, I want to mention the Make 48 co-creators, both of you, Kurt McMillan and Rich Brohl. They're a dream team of themselves. Longtime friends, Kansas City natives. You've been collaborating for years now, right?
Yes, we have.
Yeah.
So you're drawing on different product development and your experiences together to bring this to Kansas City?
Yeah.
Absolutely. We've competed ourselves in numerous contests, invention contests through the years. And one of the things that always seems to make it happen is deadlines. So we realized early on that with deadlines, you can get things done. Without them, you really don't. So we wanted to create something to show people if you have 48 hours to focus in on just one thing with all the other distractions removed. So there's nobody calling you, nobody bugging you to do this. Just focus for 48 hours straight. It's absolutely amazing what you can accomplish.
Wow.
And it's not only the removal of some of those distractions, but we also aid the teams with a lot of tools and technical advisors, our team that we call Tool Techs. We supply them with what they need to facilitate those ideas and further them along. So, again, talking earlier about the experience, we have a lot of people come who have never invented before. They've never done this, but we equal the playing field by providing them with experts there throughout the weekend to help them do all of the things that they may not know themselves how to do, along with the tools. So as long as they can draw it out on a napkin or put it on a whiteboard or something, explain it, we have people that can help them all along the way to actually create it within that 48 hours, make that prototype.
So how often do you run these? What is sort of the season, if you wouldn't call it that? How does that run? Do you do it like every 6 months or?
About every 6 months. It's twice a year. So the next one will be in September, September 28th at the Kansas City Art Institute. And then we will follow up with another one about 6 months later.
So all the applications are closed at this time. But if people are looking ahead.
Absolutely. Please go on and apply. We're always looking for new people. But yes, the ones for September are closed.
Make48.com is the website.
That's correct.
Yeah. So, you know, there's. On the website, you know, you'll see some videos, you'll see some media sort of presentations that you've made and all. But there's also a wonderful frequently asked questions that I think helps fill in, you know, people's, you know, I don't know what to do here. What is this about? And all that. I think that's really helpful to have that on your website.
Yeah. Right.
As you can imagine, there are a lot of questions with this one thing.
I printed them off. For instance, who owns what I create? You know.
Well, the teams do.
Yeah.
The teams will control the intellectual property that they create. Oftentimes, they will patent their ideas. Sometimes that weekend, they'll file for a provisional patent during the contest weekend. But we have a patent attorney as a part of our tool tech staff, our advisors. And he'll do a quick patent search and will advise them on what they can do from a patent standpoint. We encourage the teams to protect their ideas and to pursue those ideas, even if they don't win. A lot of those ideas are great ideas, and the teams will continue on with them. But all of the teams own anything that they create, their ideas. We're there to inspire and to help and to motivate, certainly, and to not own their ideas.
And I do want to talk about the judging criteria. So I know it's originality is one, right? Problem solving
and also manufacturability. That's something that a lot of people overlook when they're inventing. So we try to teach that to the teams and help them understand what it takes to get a product, actually get one manufactured. It's one thing to build a rough, feels like prototype. It's a whole other thing altogether to actually make it manufacturable and get it on store shelves.
Yeah, I mean, target audience. Sometimes... you know, may not always come to mind. Who is this for? But it's an important criteria, right?
One of the great inventor tips that I heard during our competition was that it's sometimes it's not about getting on the shelf. It's your idea getting off the shelf, right?
Meaning it's
about, you know, does your idea sell? You know, is it an idea that people want? Does it really solve a problem legitimately for people, for a number of people? And so it has to do what it says it's going to do ultimately. And if it does that, then yeah, it's something that's you know, a practical invention and solution for everyone, and certainly weighs very heavy in the assessment of whether or not the idea is a good one or not.
What are some of the inventions that you can talk about that kind of knocked your socks off?
Well, we've had a few different ones that have been impressive, and it's kind of twofold. It's certainly the ideas, but then I think it's also the teams and sometimes how they present the ideas, how they pitch the ideas. We've had a number of teams where the idea ultimately did not win, but they were great. Their prototype was great. Their video was great. They did such a fantastic job. In a couple of cases, unfortunately, we found later that the ideas were already on the market.
Yikes.
But they did a great job in all other categories, and so we've had a number of ideas that have been really great. One of our competitions was a barbecue theme that we had here in Kansas City, which is apropos, right? And so in this competition, we had a team from Oklahoma that came up, three guys. And over the course of the weekend, they made a grill. And I'm talking about a real grill, right? Mm-hmm. Metal grill. They welded it together, and this portable grill that they put together in 40 hours. And the prototype was amazing that they could do that within
all
2 days'
steel,
time.
Working
all steel,
grill.
Wow. Working grill.
It's beautiful.
And it was this great portable grill that they made all within 2 days. So, and so there are a lot of ideas like that. The prototypes are amazing, how they perform, and then of course some of these teams and what they do in that 48 hours to from the packaging to their video, everything they do, it's pretty incredible to see 48 hours later.
Now, can the public come and sort of see what's happening during this time in September when you have that coming up? Or is it closed?
Yeah, it's not really an open to the public event. We will, over the course of that weekend, we will have some various guests and people that will come and attend. Certainly, we have some VIPs that come in and take a look at this. And then certainly the families and friends of the competitors. We have a lot of people with the teams that come to support them, and they will be there. We've come up with a way to share that story. With the people who can't come to the event. So there's an add-on here that has come about lately, and that is that our event is now going to be a TV show.
And when will this premiere?
First part of September. We don't have the exact date yet.
Yeah, that's great.
It will be on public television.
Yeah, PBS.
Terrific.
And I think it's going to debut this fall, and I think it's going to be a great story about the competition.
I think it's going to be a hit.
Yeah,
because,
you'll get to see.
You know, I think it's exciting to see sort of the idea, and then it forms, and then poof, you know, there's your prototype.
It's an amazing process.
Yeah, it really is.
And unlike a lot of the shows that are out there, you don't get to see them create the idea, you know, at inception, right? Mm-hmm. You see it much later down the track. You don't get to see some of the trials and tribulations that went into it before that point. This will hopefully tell that story. You'll be there right when the teams came up with
that
the idea
awesome.
And put it on a napkin and then saw it take shape for the first time.
I love this. You know, if you've just tuned in, I'm talking to Rich Brawl and Kurt McMillan. Make 48, Inventing Against the Clock. Make48.com for more information. You can find out about what it takes, how the teams apply, pitch your ideas, all of the information that you need to know, frequently asked questions, such as, what does my team need to bring to the competition? You know, I mean, that's got to be a big question, right?
Yeah. Just bring yourself, maybe a pencil and something to write on.
Laptop and enthusiasm.
Laptop helps, that's for sure.
And so we'll look forward to the program premiering in September on Channel 19.
Yeah, PBS. Yeah,
yeah.
Terrific.
We're
and will that be posted on your website as well?
Absolutely.
It will be, when it's when we have the official air dates, and it will go up and let people know when it's going to be.
I love that. Terrific. Make48.com. Is there anything else I left out other than the Bullwinkle impression?
Kurt does the Bullwinkle.
No, I don't know, but I could try my Bob Dylan. Everyone's got a big idea. It's you guys are terrific. On the fly, I'm sorry.
will you come back and share with us some more stories?
Would love to.
Maria. Competition progresses. Terrific. Very good. You know, we're going to be right back with Art Speak Radio right after this. Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
And this is Maria Vasquez Boyd with Art Speak Radio, and we're happy that you've tuned in with us weekly because we just love that you do. And and be sure to like us on Facebook. Up next, we have Angie Jennings, who's the gallery director and curator of 2016 Main Gallery. We also have artists, painters Teresa Dirks and Chris Fry, and they're here to talk about this opening that's taken place. I've got it right here. Love in Summer. We love that title, Love in Summer. Welcome, my friends. I'm glad
Thank
you're here.
You. Thank you for having us.
You bet, Chris.
Yes.
Let's see. I need you to come up a little bit. Oh, there you go. There you go. Okay. Hello, Chris.
Hi.
Chris is an educator. Where?
I teach in Gardner School District at Pioneer Ridge Middle School.
Yeah, and I invited you back to bring your students and hang out at Art Speak Radio.
I'd love to see that.
Terrific. So let's talk about Love in Summer that opens July 7th, this Friday, first Friday, and it runs through August, the end of August. So tell us about Love in Summer. We love in summer.
Love in Summer was actually an inception or a brainchild of Jody Vanderwood, who owns 2016 Main with her husband, Patrick Galvin. It's a multi-use space. It's an event space and a photo studio and the gallery. So with her idea of love or amor, she just wanted to bring love back to Kansas City in the crossroads, and I just ran with it. I met Chris and the other artist, Dee Thurn. They brought their work in, and I fell in love with their artwork. The artwork just gave me goosebumps. And Teresa Dirks and I go back a bit. We're both members of Kansas City Artist Coalition.
Yes.
And she had a painting that had the word love in it. And a lot of her work also depicts love in an abstract formation with ribbons and so. But she can talk about that.
Yeah.
My work is also on there. And it's photography. It is blurred out images of couples in love, couples in Paris. And it's kind of a step back. When you're so in love, you get so close that things become blurred. But once you step back, you can see that love again.
We love to be loved.
We love to be loved. So that's kind of the whole inception of that.
Yeah. I love that the description is that the summer we celebrate love. This summer we celebrate love. We need love. Love as depicted by five artists, three painters, two photographers, their own unique way of expressing that emotion. Right?
Exactly.
Terrific.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, Chris, what do you bring to this gallery?
Well, my paintings that will be showing in this show are from my Passionate Kisses series. Oftentimes depict that moment of passion. Painting is my passion. Mm-hmm. I love to use color and very abstract, expressive painting with more pop art kind of images superimposed, depicting passion.
Yeah, yeah, and I think, you know, it's, you can do that through the use of color. I mean, there's so much emotion that color can evoke, right, Teresa?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In my work, I try to investigate relationships, and I envision a world where we are all giving and given respect. And so I feel my work is about harmony. It's about the lines and those intersection parallels where good things happen, like today.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, did I hear that you use words in your work, or am I making things up?
I have.
Because I like to make things up.
I actually have a creative writing degree, and so I've studied the written word and am a quasi-poet, but I do incorporate words throughout in the past 2 years, I've been incorporating more words, and most of the time they're hidden, so this was my first piece that I just thought, okay, in this current political climate, I feel that we need to have more love. We need to stay positive, and we need to share our kindness. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would agree. The gallery is it's 2016 Main Gallery, and the location is 2016 Main in Kansas City, Missouri. So the opening reception is July 7th, and then you'll have another, maybe a closing reception August 4th?
Yes, there's two first Fridays for this exhibit.
Oh, okay. So this first Friday, July 7th at 7 p.m., there will be a brief talk about the show and introduction of the artists. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that sounds great. First Friday's a lot of fun, especially, you know, when the weather's nice and you just get so many people out to see the art. And that's really what it's about.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the opening reception this Friday. And, Angie, about your work, you said you do some you're a photographer, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yes.
So we'll see some of your images there.
Yes. And the images in this show, that I have in this show, are quite different from what people have seen of my work before. What they've seen of my work in the past, it's all street photography. Now, granted, these are street photography images, but the way I processed them and applied applications to them, they look a little bit different, more painterly, or more of the older, almost salt print looking. Mm-hmm. I do have one salt print
in the
show, which I was experimenting with. And there was a local artist who taught salt printing, Adam Finkelstein, who's...
Oh, we love Adam, the hand. Adam the hand.
He's the teacher to all photographers here. No.
It's been a while since we've had him on the show. We'll have to get him back.
Well, he also has a show, not to plug another show, but I do want to plug his show. He has Mudra, I believe that's how you pronounce it, at the Leedy Arts Center from his artist from the Hand magazine.
Right, right.
It's going to be an amazing exhibit as well.
Some international artists there too, right? Yeah, I have to check that out.
And that's opening Friday.
Now, the 2016 Main Gallery website?
The 2016 Main Gallery does not have a website right now. We do have Instagram, 2016 Main Gallery, as well as Facebook. So we're doing mostly social media, just getting people out, getting it out in social media and advertising that way.
When you did you put out a call for artists for this particular show?
I did not. I have a pretty good cache of artists, and through the Artist Coalition, I've met a lot of artists, and I've curated other art shows in alternative spaces, like a couple of coffee shops locally, and that's how I met Chris and Dee Thurn, who are also in this show, through an email from an owner of a coffee shop. He forwarded the email, and I loved their work, and thought, oh, no, I want them in the gallery.
That's how it works sometimes. So, even, you know, when I go to the Crossroads or wherever, I'm always looking at the art. I'm not just ordering my coffee. I'm looking at, you know, I think we're very fortunate to have such an art-filled community.
Yes,
you know,
it's a wonderful community.
You think?
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm so happy to be here.
And Teresa, do you have an information website or social media that you want to share with our listeners?
I do. Thank you. It's teresadirks.com. And then I'm on Facebook at Artist Teresa Dirks, and then also on Instagram at Artist Teresa Dirks.
You know, I think Instagram for me has been... I love Instagram because you don't have all the politics of all the other craziness, you know, involved with social media.
And it's a visual platform as well. Yeah. So that's...
Do you think a lot of artists are sort of tuning into that, going headed in that direction and less away from...
Absolutely.
So I see some really beautiful images there, and I want everyone that I've ever looked at onto the show because, you know, it's just really beautiful stuff.
It is.
And Chris, you were talking about not having a website, but you've
right. I also use social media to share my work. You can find me on Facebook at www.facebook.com/theartworkofChristopherVonFry, or on Instagram at CVFrye. That's F-R-Y-E.
And I'm just really tickled to meet you in person because I know you've made some comments on ArtSpeak Radio's page, and
we
love that.
A long-time listener.
Hey, you know, this is my fifth year, so I'm really happy to do this for this community.
Yes.
Your community.
Yeah, yeah, so it's great to listen weekly and be introduced to other artists and to just to be a part of that. Is a cool feeling.
Well, thank you. You know, I think I always say this just about every week. You know, we just kind of lift each other up. You know, we support each other in the arts, so it feels good to have that sort of relationship that, you know, in Kansas City, where a lot of times it's not that way, you
right.
know.
Right.
Yeah. Love in Summer, July 7th through August 30th at the 2016 Main Gallery. And do you happen to know the gallery hours?
The gallery hours are Tuesday through Friday from 1 to 5 or by chance. But they can call or message me through Facebook if they want to go down and see the show.
Yeah, that'd be great. Mm-hmm. So this Friday, 7 p.m., there's a brief talk about the show and then introductions of the artists.
Yes.
All of the artists will
yes.
be present?
Yeah, I will introduce all the artists and their work just so that people can get a little bit more of an idea of who the artists are instead of just coming in, looking at the art, and walking out. I have found on First Friday people just... You know, they zip through, and I want people to really know and meet the artist, and so that they can have an attachment to the artwork. I think meeting the artist.
I think it makes a difference.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And Chris, don't you have another show?
Yes, I'll also have work in another group show at Opal and Orchid Hair Salon at 17th and Locust.
Mm-hmm.
In the
Here in Kansas City.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And Teresa?
In August, we'll have an open studio. We're in the Livestock Exchange building.
Oh.
And then in November as well. I love our building.
What floor are you on?
I'm on the fifth floor.
Yeah,
I have
yeah.
some great neighbors.
Yeah. You know, I've had a studio off and on through probably the last 20 years there at the Livestock Exchange building.
Oh,
yeah.
What floor are you on?
Well, I was on the fifth floor. And it always seems like whenever I'm there, I'm either... Yeah, I'm always across the street from my last studio there. But, I think I moved out like in December.
Okay.
But, it's a great, affordable space filled with artists.
I love
some longtime artists. Yeah.
Yes, wonderful artists there. And it's such a great community as well.
I've been
very fortunate to have landed there.
Yeah.
Yeah, Love in Summer, July 7th through August 30th. Teresa Dirks, painter. Chris Fry, painter. Angie Jennings, photographer. Dee Thurn, painter. And Jody Vanderwood, who is a photographer. They are the five artists that will be showing their work at 2016 Main, Kansas City, Missouri, July 7th through August 4th. Is there anything that I left out that I should mention? Or not?
I don't think so.
Yeah. So, opening reception at 7 o'clock. I'm going to talk about the show, introduce the artists, and that will be good.
Yeah, it'll open really at 6 o'clock. People come in, and then at 7 o'clock, I'll do the little introductions for everybody. And if the artist would like to speak about their work for 5 minutes or so, they are more than welcome to.
Chris is like shaking his head. No.
I have all of these. No, I don't think so. But who knows? We'll see.
We'll see.
I'd be more than happy to have conversations.
Yes. Yes, I would love to have a conversation.
Yes. Yes.
Beautiful. Well, thank you all for coming in this afternoon.
Thank you so much.
Yes. All right. And I want to also say thanks to Frank Lingo, Audrey Luna, Rich Broll, Kurt McMillan, Angie Jennings, Teresa Dirks, Chris Fry. Next week, July 12th, we have Jeanette Powers, Daniel Coleman, Daryl Chamberlain. They're going to join us live in the studio. Stay tuned next for Jazz Afternoon with Jeff Harshberger. I think he's in town. I don't know. I haven't seen him yet. At any rate, he'll be up next at 1 o'clock, and then we've got Groovy Grant at 3 o'clock. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Download the podcast through kkfi.org or iTunes. And you know what? That's all for this week. I love you all. Thank you so much for listening. Honey, I'm coming home.